Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us again on this journey we call Living Hope, as we share the stories, the real-life stories of those really affected by this deadly disease and how they deal with it on a daily basis. And today, we're going to go deeper into a topic that I didn't think anybody could go deeper into, which is 9/11. Doing this on September 11th, 2025, we're going to start by remembering that day and exploring some of the unintended consequences of those buildings coming down and releasing a bunch of toxins into the air, which led apparently to an awful lot of increase in diagnosis of pancreatic cancer afterwards, and other, I'm sure. So let's start by bringing in the woman who came up with this idea here today. Roberta Luna, welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, I had the idea, but unfortunately I had it late, so I wish I would have thought of it earlier, and I don't know why I didn't. I think it just didn't dawn on me, because I don't think we've had September 11th on a Thursday, so it probably didn't dawn on me.
Let me pipe in. We'll explore the different angles of 9/11 for a moment, and we'll talk about this unforeseen consequence that apparently came out of that tragedy, as if there wasn't enough tragedy that came out of it already. One was, I vividly remember how shook up I was and the whole country was that day. We had never been attacked since Pearl Harbor like that. It just caught us all psychologically off balance. And a lot of people were killed in a very dramatic way all over the news. And then, to make matters worse, the death count was dramatically increased because people ran into the building trying to save those in the burning towers, and not ever imagining that they would collapse and kill everybody. Not just those unfortunate people in the building when the planes hit, but those who rushed in to save them. So I think that was just all of those being attacked and on television, and then seeing all these brave first responders go in and then they die on top of it. That was just a really hard tragedy. But what strikes me the most when you said this topic today is, I forgot it was 9/11.
Yeah, I know. It's because this is, I believe, the 24th anniversary, which time goes by and you think it heals, but for a lot of us, it doesn't. I don't personally know somebody, but I know somebody who did have a family member.
Me too.
There,
I knew somebody who knew somebody.
Yeah, yeah. So it stays with me every year, and I do something. Usually the family asks just for a moment of silence or to do something, so I participate. It's like when seeing that on the news, I was like, I couldn't believe what I was watching and what I was seeing. And then my thought was, I don't know if I want to take my kids to school. It was, what do I do? And talking to the school, they said, no, we want to try to keep as normal as possible, so please bring them in, and we will talk about 9/11 when they get
there. I'll tell you the two dramatic reactions I had. These are just things that stick in my mind. So I owned a bar at the time, Kelly McHugh's Mission Viejo. I was one of the owners of that. And a Cheers-like bar. People gathered. Everybody knew your name. Glad you came. And we had a kind of community. People just all knew each other and hung out there. And this is a horrible thought, but I'm a businessman. So the first thought is, I'm watching this thing that flashes my mind, oh my God, we better shut the bar down. Nobody's going to be there today anyway, and we should do something to honor this, so we should just not open. And we hastily rushed down there, and we found out there was a line of people desperately wanted to be there that day because they didn't want to be home alone, and they needed the comfort. And then later that night, I'm a good Irish Catholic. It was, I don't remember what day of the week it was, but it wasn't whatever it was during the week. The Catholic church where I go to said, we're going to have a mass tonight. And I would have never thought, a mass? Why are we doing an extra mass? I went there. It was packed. It was overflowing. People didn't, whether it was going to a bar or going to a church, they somehow didn't want to be alone in this time of tragedy. It felt like a collective grief and fear that everybody wanted to gather somewhere. And they were grateful that they didn't have to sit home alone and try and make sense of this. Did you feel that? Did you sense that? Or did you just stay? Some people just hunkered down and said, I'm not going out.
No, I think we were reaching out to others. For one, did we really see what we just saw? And how can this happen? And then hearing all the stories, you wanted to be with others that, you know, you, for one, that you loved or that you cared for, just so that you knew they were safe and you were all together.
And then that led to the other startling thing. So a very good friend of mine, his best friend, not mine necessarily, I knew the guy, but this was one of my best friend's best friends, right? That makes sense. Somebody he met out here and lived next to him. We're down in San Diego. And he was a big executive, and he was in New York that day at the adjoining tower, not at the actual towers, but whatever tower was next to it. Saw it happen, shook up, got in a car. He got his first impulse is, I got to get home. All the planes are grounded, because they don't know what's going to happen next. So he went and rented a car, the last one he could find, and drove, continually from New York City to San Diego in like however fast you can do that, 48 hours or something if you just drive nonstop. Drove nonstop to get there because he, like many of us, was afraid this wasn't the last attack. This was the beginning. And I better get home and be with my family, whatever comes next. As if we all, and I felt that fear too. Oh my God, where, what's next?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's, I worked for an attorney, so I was in a law office and at a courthouse a lot. So I was like, I don't think I want to go to work today because not knowing what was going to happen.
Is this a wave that's going to happen? Are there bombs going off and planes blowing up and who knows what's happening? So that unbelievable feeling and that feeling of I can't do this alone. I got to grab it. Like when they have school tragedies, people gather in candlelight ceremonies. I didn't think they'd gather at a bar, but for want of it, another thing, that was a gathering place. And I guess people came. Or at a church, you'd expect that. And then this immediate fear that what's next?
Yeah, I think people are going to gather where they feel comfortable and where they think they've met people. So I can actually see
you understand the bar connection. Yeah, I thought that was pretty bizarre that people, we were packed. Anyway, and so what's next? Then you brought this up. This has been, what, 24 years? I thought we've explored this to, I won't say to death, what a horrible way to say that, but we've explored this in great depth. And now you bring out another unforeseen consequence, another lingering example of how one thing leads to another. You're telling me that the World Trade Center Health Organization, formed afterwards when the buildings came down and all the toxins and the whatever they stick into construction things, particularly in those days, comes flying out into the air and people are unbreathing this, that an awful lot of an unusually high number of people, they acknowledge, came down with pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, it was when the towers fell, it was, like you said, a massive dust that blanketed the lower Manhattan area. And it was asbestos, benzene, silica, pulverized concrete, jet fuel, heavy metals and other toxins that I probably couldn't even pronounce. So this is something that, like you said, people were rushing in because they were trying to help. They wanted to help somebody and rushing in and not realizing what they were putting themselves into. But before getting too heavy on that, what I was going to tell you is my original hope was to actually have a first responder or a caregiver here to talk about their experience, which, like I said, my idea came at the last minute. So it's
we weren't able to arrange that. There was somebody.
No, and they were working very hard to make this happen for me. So I really do appreciate that. And we will have somebody on, hopefully at another time. But they're stopping to think today is their day as well. So they're doing things for 9/11. And I know they were in D.C. getting for funding, making sure that their funding isn't cut back because that's what's happening. But I think, and it's not just pancreatic cancer, it is also other cancers and respiratory issues and that kind of thing.
But among that mixture, I wouldn't expect, because we still don't know what causes pancreatic cancer.
No, and I think that's why this was important, is because we've been talking recently with genetics and risk factors, and one of those was environmental.
Always.
So now
though they can't clearly identify these compounds, this kind of exposure. You yourself had how many direct family? Mother, father, uncle?
Four. I've lost four to pancreatic cancer.
And one of the things you observed years ago and mentioned a couple of times in the show is your family grew up in rural New Mexico, not far from where they used to blow up the atomic bombs. And you used to, as a kid, go out and watch them like the fireworks in the sky.
Yeah, they live far from, but we used to go through there yearly when we would go visit family. And like you said, there was one street in, one way out. So you never knew, and it was White Sands, New Mexico, and you never knew when they were going to close it off for their testing. So we would always stop at the market before getting to that area to have food just in case, because you could be there 5 minutes, you could be there for 4 hours. But yeah, us kids would get up on the roof of the car and watch what we thought were fireworks.
The sky lit up as they blew up atomic bombs at the White Sands missile test range there.
But, of course, the government did not do that. That was probably a figment of my imagination.
Must have remembered it wrong. And you said, I thought this is telling, a couple times as people started to develop pancreatic cancer, you went back to, I don't know, the base or the government. I don't know who in the government you contacted and tried to say, have you ever seen a connection with this? And you even went to the point, we're not trying to find a connection to sue you. We're not having you tell us, give us the smoking gun so that we can go collect money. We just want to know, is this something we were all exposed to? And whoever you contact, their response was what?
No, it never happened. We didn't do it. Whatever we did out there was nothing that could affect
anybody.
No
open-air testing in that area.
No, but what we thought was odd is, like I said, it was an aunt and uncle, myself, my grandmother, and my parents all of us. The only difference is my aunt was diagnosed with brain cancer. The rest of us were pancreatic cancer, and there was no other cancer in the family. They all died from old age.
So you would think there's it's more than just a biological marker. It would have happened over generations. It wouldn't have happened all at once to a generation unless they were all exposed to something. And in your case, seems like the smoking gun was the fireworks going off in the sky that you were watching there.
That's what we were trying to. And it's not, like you said, we're not trying to blame anybody. We even offered, we'll sign whatever you want for
waive
to
it.
Take, yeah, any waivers that you want. We were just trying to find a reason because we couldn't find something. And I think when something like this happens to you, you're trying to find out why. What could I have done or what should I be doing?
And I wonder if there has been, we had some great people from Hoag here in the last few episodes talking about genetics and the research into genetic connections, which they believe exist. If you have some chromosome or gene that's defective or doesn't, I don't know what the right word is, but you've got this thing, you've got a marker that makes you more susceptible to it. And even in the same family, that gene might be turned on or off. You might have it, I might not. And if you have it, then they know you should be tested more often so they can catch this early, because we all know that early detection greatly increases your odds of survival. So having said that, there is some genetic thing, but even she said, all of the people that came from Hoag, and every doctor you've ever talked to, is there's an assumption that there is some environmental factor to it. Is it smoking? Is it diet, sugar, something? Is it something you're breathing in the air, like the people at 9/11?
I would think, for one, like I said, it's odd on my side of the family. Half of us smoked, half of them didn't. What's the cause there?
But wasn't that the smokers got it and the others didn't?
No, in fact,
like
my
lung cancer.
Yeah, my mother, my grandmother, myself didn't smoke, whereas my dad and his brother, yeah, they were heavy smokers. But in that, we actually expected them to get lung cancer, not pancreatic cancer.
Right.
But I think what we're seeing is, because now finding this out, like I said, and it was because of having Hoag on here and talking about risk factors, and that maybe the environment plays a part. For whatever odd reason came in, my thought was that we needed to do something for what happened.
Had you known that there was this connection established between the World Trade Center Health Organization, that I guess this must have been founded because they recognized a very unhealthy air afterwards, and a lot of people breathed it, and they must have started tracking it and realizing a lot of people were coming down with conditions, diseases, whatnot, from being exposed to all that stuff you listed. Toxins, jet fuel. You're not supposed to smell jet fuel. Other sorts of things in the buildings and asbestos, whatever they'd put in the buildings. I don't know they put asbestos in the building, but I'm assuming in those days they probably did when it was built, like old homes today. So whatever it was, they found a connection. How did you find that connection that they found? How did you find that they found a connection?
Like I said,
because I never knew that.
I wanted to have somebody come on and talk about it, I just got to doing some research, and I actually... I'm going to give ChatGPT a credit here. I actually
They're doing
asked.
Some good things in the world, not just taking everybody's job.
I asked, is there any exposure or any connection between pancreatic cancer and what happened for 9/11? And it actually came up with some thing. It didn't have exact numbers, but it did come up with, yes, there is pancreatic cancer more. They saw lung cancer, other cancers, respiratory, that kind of issues. And they actually connected me with some nonprofits that I could reach out to try to get a guess.
And the government actually, or the body created to take care of people afterwards, recognize, you're saying, in their report that pancreatic cancer was among those they saw an increase in.
Yes, in 2014, the World Trade Center Health Program formally recognized pancreatic cancer as a 9/11 related illness.
There you go.
And the reason this is critical moment, it meant that responders and survivors were eligible for medical monitoring, treatment, and financial support through them for the, we'll do it really quickly, WTCHP. And the Victim Compensation Fund. Had they not probably come across this, so we wouldn't know this, and a lot of people would not know what they're able to get.
And that's a critical component. People say, who cares? Or what? First, they got to figure out what will they accept as a related injury, and what will we pay out on? What kind of claims will we pay out on? And so they have to establish a long list of things somehow. This is probably something that this was a direct correlation of that event, and therefore you should be compensated and will be compensated or qualified to make a claim, a financial, not just those who lost people, but people who's not just lost their lives, but lost their health in the process.
Yeah, and that's the problem. They went in to save others, and unfortunately not seeing what the outcome was going to be. No. I don't think it's something any of us knew. And even if a lot of these people, even if they knew that, from what I've heard from about some of these people, that wouldn't have stopped them anyway. They still would have went in there and done what they could to help those that were unable.
I think so, yeah.
And it's like, for
the nature of firemen and policemen and people who do those sorts of things for a living, I'm brave. I'm going to go do this. Mm-hmm. What I'm here for.
But it's amazing to even hear and find out how many, yes, we expect that in our from our officers and the fire department and whatnot, but to hear how many people just off the street ran in to help. And
I'll tell you again the story that this was a couple of years ago. It wasn't on your show. It was on some other show. I'd have to go back and look at it here. But I vividly remember a guy came on one of these 9/11 anniversaries a year ago, 2 years ago or something. And he had been an executive. I don't remember the big companies that were that took up the top floors, but there were a handful of them that were on most of those floors. In other words, there were only a couple of companies that leased out most of that space in the top, as you would expect. Prime real estate, expensive, whatever, downtown Manhattan. So he was an executive at one of those companies. Maybe there was just one company. I don't know. It seems like there were several companies that kind of populated these floors. Whatever it was, he was an executive at one of the companies that had a big space on the top. And like any good high-powered executive, he was always early to work. He didn't come late. But that morning, for a variety of reasons, he came late. And it was very unusual. He was very frustrated. He was trying to get there. I'm never late. Had he been there on time, he would have died. Because it happened early in the morning, as I recall. And because he was late, he was waiting at the elevator to go up. And instead, the building gets hit, shocked. What was that? A bomb went off. And all of a sudden, people start coming down in the elevators. Those who were right under the floors that were wiped out, they're burning, they're on fire, they're smoke inhalation, they're frightened, and they start fleeing out of the elevator. So instead of the elevator door opening being empty to take them upstairs, there are people coming out. And who is coming out? As he told the story, this just makes the story memorable. That's memorable itself, but more memorable is another executive, a woman. This is a guy, and this is a woman coming out. And she apparently, and he had a deep dislike of each other, to the point he claimed she had tried to get him fired the month before. And now she's coming out and she's literally burning. And he wrapped her and saved her and took her in his own car, got a cab or whatever, and took her to the hospital. And he said, I'm saving this woman? Of all the people in the building, I got to save this woman? But that was just that day. It was just, nothing made sense.
No, and I don't think you stop to look at, I don't like you, so I'm not going to
say yeah, next. Now. I'll save the next one.
I jokingly say sometimes if you were drowning, I wouldn't throw you a life preserver, but I'm sure I would. I think you look at what's happening and you forget everything. Obviously, he even forgot his own safety.
Yeah.
These are things that we do as humans, and that's the right thing to do. You put your feelings aside and, you know, you do what you need to do to help others. And
so what's the right thing to do in this situation? I'm not going to get political, but we're in a mood where we're going to slash government. Get rid of all. Off with its head. Government. We hate government. Get rid of government. Left and center. It's all waste. It's all corruption. Off with its head. And so we've cut dramatically back to the point that I'd argue that a lot of good stuff's, babies getting thrown out with the bathwater. Good stuff's going, not just the bad stuff's going. And one of that's research funding for a variety of reasons, and that research funding for things like cancer has been cut back dramatically. So should this be a moment to remind us, hey, we still owe those people something?
I think so, because these people rushed in to help others, and so we can't forget them. It's whatever it is it takes. And I know they've probably been in D.C. this week to try to make sure their funding is not getting cut or to increase their funding.
And I don't know. Somebody would have to answer. I don't know if their funding got cut, yes or no. I don't know where their funding sits. That's what this guest might have told us.
Maybe. I don't know if they'd be aware of it, but at some point in time we can have somebody come in and do that. But there's organizations like the Feel Good Foundation, founded by John Phil, and he actually is a responder himself, and he became the leading voice ensuring that responders are not forgotten, and he goes to D.C. and advocates for
that. That was
funding.
My opening thing. I think we forgot. I'm ashamed to say I've probably forgotten and moved on.
I think,
as shook up as I was that day, as much as I thought I'd never forget, I forgot it was 9/11.
I don't think, for us, me personally, it's not something I don't forget, but it's not something that I live with every day either, because right. I wasn't that affected. But like with pancreatic cancer, that's something I live with every day because of the way it's affected me. I think it's the same probably for 9/11. It's not that we're being cruel or not sentimental caring. It's just that because it doesn't affect our daily life where these people
and we somehow
are having to live with it every
day. That's the nature of humanity. We forget what we think we could never forget. And that's why somebody has to keep reminding us all these horrendous tragedies that happen in life. I won't list them because then people say I left one out. But we all know the kind of tragedies that happen. And they said, we're never going to forget this. Come on, we're never going to forget this thing, this school shooting or something. We're never going to forget this. And we do.
I don't know if moving on is really forgetting. I guess it just depends.
Or stop thinking
like
about
I say,
it.
I don't know that it's something we can think about every day, like I said, because it's really not part of our lives like it would be like for these firemen or first responders, because it's something they deal with every day, or somebody who has lost somebody because of what happened on 9/11. Then for them, it's probably, it is something that doesn't leave them. But I think for us, because you have to move on and not dwell on things every single day.
And I don't want to open a firestorm, but I'll open it slightly here. We also are doing this today on 9/11. What else happened? What's consuming the news today is the Charlie Kirk, a activist on the right, very famous, very notable, somewhat controversial, one might argue, was assassinated. It was a month ago or something that a right-wing, and we're assuming it was a left-wing activist, killed him. Somebody on the left got mad, killed him. And we don't know that yet. Just as a month ago, some right-wing guy listened to all the denunciations and demonization of those on the left, a similar kind of back and forth, we're all evil, and assassinated, literally assassinated a Democratic state senator. I think he shot two of them, but he killed one of them at his house. Is this the new norm? You speak out, and I think you're evil, so I'm going to shoot you, and then the other side shoots me, and back and forth, are we in the Hatfields and the McCoys, are we in the I'm Irish, the times of the trouble where the Protestants, the Catholics shooting each other, and you shot me and I shot you, and each killing then makes us think another killing is, that just proves the other side's evil, so we really got to kill them, we got to go after them here. That's what consumed the news today. I didn't see one word about 9/11 till you mentioned it today. These current problems pushed the past problems off the page.
Yeah, and you're right, and I'm not going to spend time on it because, for one, to me, the 9/11 issue is very important. I'm sorry this gentleman lost his life, and it wasn't right just because you disagree.
Nobody should be killed.
No, just whatever your thoughts and feelings are, you shouldn't have to die for them. But my take is, to me, 9/11 is a much more important story and a bigger issue because we have people dying all the time from pancreatic cancer, not getting the treatment they deserve and they need to get. And I did want, because like I said, I did want to have a guest and I wasn't able to, but what I did learn when I was doing some research is there's a Reverend Monsignor John Delectic, I think is his last name. And he was a New York Fire Department firehouse chaplain.
Okay.
And he spent weeks at Ground Zero comforting the firefighters and their families and was on the site blessing the bodies of those who had been killed in the attack. Sadly, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Yikes. And he died on Thanksgiving 2023 at the age of 74. And they were able to link this to his exposure to the toxins at Ground Zero. The New York Fire Department honored him last year for his service and sacrifice, recognizing not only his role on 9/11, but the health battle that he faced because of it. And sadly, though, I don't have exact numbers of those diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, but we know that he's not alone because I've heard there's been many that have come out of 9/11 with pancreatic cancers. Like I said, other cancers as well, and lung cancer and also respiratory issues. But these are our responders and families whose stories don't make the news but deserve to be remembered.
Exactly. And the other thing that struck me about 9/11, it was the most unifying moment I'd ever seen in American society, where nobody was left or right the next day. Nobody was conservative or liberal. Nobody was Democrat or Republican. We were all one, and we were all in shock.
We were, and I think we treated people nicer after that, at least for a while.
For a while.
You know?
We were together. We were unified. We were attacked. We, as one, tried to respond and make sense of it here. And I'm sorry it took a tragedy to do that, but I missed that sort of feeling that we were all in this together, as opposed to what feels like today, we're at each other's throats.
Yeah, and it's sad because, like with the Monsignor here that lost his life and who went in to spend, I'm sure he didn't even think about what he was doing, how long, how much time he
was
there.
This guy in the building is rescuing his arch enemy in the company.
Yeah, their experiences remind us that the impact of 9/11, we think of it as maybe history. It's not history to them because they're still living it today.
Yeah, clearly.
So I think whatever we need to do as far as advocacy, support organizations, get the word out there and help them keep the funding that they need to keep getting the medical they get.
So I hope you'll do one thing for us as a follow-up. Have this guy on that we weren't able to do today. And two, find out from him or your research or others writing in, have we stopped helping those 9/11 victims? As the time ran out, it was 24 years ago. They don't need any more funding. They don't need any more attention. They don't need any more. We've moved on from that. Is that the case? Or are we still standing by them and supporting them and forever with them? I don't know.
I don't either, but I hope we are. And for one, I'll throw this out again, the Feel Good, and it's F-E-A-L Good Foundation. And that number is 631-724-3320. Like I said, it was founded by a first responder himself. So you can call them, find out what you can do. But also the World Trade Center Health Program is 888-982-4748. So they continue to provide medical and monitoring treatment for pancreatic cancer, as well as the others. But like I said, my goal is to bring awareness to the pancreatic cancer, because that's what has affected me personally.
Yeah,
but you can reach out to them for other cancers as well.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Thank you for reminding us of this moment in time. May we never forget how we felt that day, how we responded, how we came together, and may we never suffer that kind of tragedy again, that kind of attack. I don't know how we stopped those type of things. We've certainly taken lots of steps to try. But whatever it is, it was a moment of unity. It brought us together. And I wish in these times where we're tearing each other apart and assassinating each other, two sides are literally turning into producing people that kill people because of the hate and the rhetoric and everything that's spitted out on both sides here. I hope we can find a way to not just forget, but to learn from that experience.
Let's hope so, because it was a horrible experience, and you have to learn from it.
Worse
if you don't,
my life,
then then I don't know what to say if we can't take something and learn, but we need to learn from this and to stop the hate.
Stop the hate. Okay, anybody want to dedicate this, I guess, to that first responder who died?
As long as you speak my name, I shall live forever. It's dedicated to all those names we may never know, but whose sacrifices live on.
There you have it, another great reason. We're all in this together. It is a continuing journey for all of us. Those with pancreatic cancer, those who know somebody with pancreatic cancer, those who worry that I don't want to get pancreatic cancer. All of us are on a quest we call Living Hope, your journey with pancreatic cancer. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, wishing you some hope on this otherwise dark day.